You will turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. We're going to kind of step through these last verses here. I was going to move on to chapter 6 this week, but I just couldn't get past this message that I believe is so crucial in the midst of Christian community today, and that is the reality of the Spirit-led, as it tells us in Galatians 5, or the Spirit-filled life that God desires us to have. So I don't want you to look at the title and think that there is somehow a contrasting, well, it's either Spirit-led or it's Spirit-filled. No, these are just two ways of saying the same thing. In the book of Galatians 5, it says being led by the Spirit, but that is equal to being filled, to living by the Spirit. Something that is a challenge, I'm sure, for all of us as we have gone through this fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to get into that just briefly as we see the first point of today's message. But I want us to look today at Galatians chapter 5. Hopefully you've brought your Bible with you. Again, I think I mentioned this a few weeks ago. Please bring your Bible with you when you come so that when we are in the Word of God together, you have your own Bible that you can read if you need to make notes about it, something that God is speaking to your mind and heart about. I just would encourage you, keep your sword handy. And I know some of us have a primary sword, and then maybe you have a secondary, you know, maybe a third, a backup to a backup, but keep your Bible with you so that you can have it ready. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 24, and just read these three verses together. Galatians 5, beginning in 24, it says this, "And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." I'm not going to spend a lot of time reading these verses necessarily. We're going to touch on these as we go through, but I do want us to hit these points as we talk about the Spirit-led or the Spirit-filled life. Number one, the reality of belonging to Jesus Christ brings a new identity to us. It should bring a new identity to us. Before I go further, I wanted to read this quote from Martin Luther. This was actually in his introduction to the book of Romans, and it says this, "Faith is a living, bold trust in God's grace, so certain of God's favor that it would risk death 1,000 times trusting in it. Such confidence and knowledge of God's grace makes you happy, joyful, and bold in your relationship to God and all creatures. The Holy Spirit makes this happen through faith. Because of faith, you freely, willingly, and joyfully do good to everyone, serve everyone, suffer all kinds of things, love, and praise the God who has shown you such grace. Thus, it is just as impossible to separate faith and works as it is to separate heat and light from fire." This is a longer quote from Martin Luther as he's explaining this life of faith, this living, bold trust in God's grace that I believe really is the reality of belonging to Jesus Christ. This new identity that we have, and in having this new identity, it gives us a different outlook on life. It gives us freedom, as we'll see in a minute, from being bound the way the world tries to tie us down and to define us. So I wanted to just walk back through the fruit that we've been discussing over the last couple of months and want you to see how Jesus is demonstrated in that fruit. One by one, love. The greatest act of love in the history of mankind was Jesus willingly going to the cross for us. When I look at the cross and think about the reality of that, I become more loving. Joy. Jesus is our joy because His joy, He would not let it become complete until we were included in it. It tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, that He endured the suffering and the pain for the joy that was set before Him. The joy that Jesus showed us. Peace. He's our peace because He gave it all so that we could have peace with Him and the Father. The penalty of our sin made His peacemaking mission a necessity. The peace that Jesus showed. Patience. Just one question. How many times could Jesus have walked away from us? And yet He is patient with us. Kindness. He never turned anyone away who was in need. He weeps with us in our pain and He hurts with us in our hurt. When I confess my sin or I cry out for help, He doesn't scold me or lecture me. Instead, His arms are wide open, waiting to forgive, waiting to help me. He is kind. His goodness. He is good. All the time. And all the time, He is good. It's just, it's who Jesus is. He's always good, faithful. He always tells us the truth. He never gave up on us. Never, never has He given up on us. Gentleness. Has there been anyone who thought less about His needs and more about our needs? Again, going back to what we just read in Philippians chapter 2, this mind of Christ that thought of others' needs above His own. Finally, self-control at any time in Jesus' life, at any time through His suffering and pain, before and on the cross, He could have called upon the armies of heaven to deliver Him. But He kept silent for me. Self-control. Jesus demonstrated all of these qualities, and I want us to understand that this is not just a list that we ought to memorize. In fact, in the midst of it, memorizing this is not a list of things that we should even seek to do. It is who Jesus was for us. And as we become more like Him, these things become more a part of who we are, not a list of things that we must do. So I was looking back on this list as well. I began to realize, and I don't know that I covered this all that well in the midst of that list, is that sometimes we'll see someone who is a pretty gentle person or maybe a pretty patient person, but in the midst of that gentleness and patience, they may not be the most joyful person. Maybe they just kind of, they seem to be patient, maybe they're gentle, but there is just kind of this edge that they carry with them. Or maybe we'll have somebody that it has other attributes about the fruit of the Spirit that we see, but when Jesus is producing these things in us, it's not an either or. This is an all-encompassing fruit that comes about from us. It's not a personality trait that we have. Somebody that may be more bubbly and joyful. That can just be a personality trait, not necessarily a manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit. If they're bubbly and joyful, and yet they have no self-control in their lives. So this is something that as we look at Jesus Christ, and as we seek not to do a list of things, but instead, and again going back to earlier in chapter 5, these aspects of the flesh, it's not stop doing these things in the flesh and then you're going to become led by the Spirit or you're going to become filled with the Spirit. It is become filled with the Spirit. Start being led by the Spirit. Become more like Jesus and you will stop doing these things that are in the flesh and you'll see these other things happening in you that aren't personality traits, but are the fruit of the Spirit showing forth in your life. So this is something that as we look at Jesus and the reality of belonging to Him, we have to get this straight, that this is a new identity that we are embracing in our lives as I have surrendered my life to Him and say it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Then these aspects of who Jesus is will become more and more evident. And looking at that and contrasting that with the philosophy of the world, we have to be mindful that we cannot be shaped or conformed to this philosophy or to this pattern of the world. The world measures people based on a totally different scale. And it measures success and failure. It measures manhood and womanhood, boyhood and girlhood. I just heard this week. I mean, who would have thought that the Boy Scouts are no longer the Boy Scouts anymore, because girls have every right to be admitted to the Boy Scouts now. This is the way the world is redefining what God has already made clear in His Word. And so we can't go along with the world's philosophy. We can't go along with the world's way of thinking, even in looking at Christians and expecting Christians to just be, as we were talking last week, to either be willing to let you just walk right over them because, you know, aren't Christians supposed to be loving and kind and merciful and gracious? And so we have to be being led by the Spirit in what we do and in what we say. In doing this, we have to strive to daily live the victorious life of following Jesus. Again, bringing it back to Him. It doesn't always mean it's going to be easy. Jesus makes this clear. And many times we fall into that temptation of, man, just come and follow Jesus and you're going to live the abundant life. You're going to live a life that's, you know, where God's just blessing you and God's just blessing you and God's just blessing you. And yet Jesus has a different way of defining blessing in the sense of, really, the blessing is following Him, but He lays it out in Luke chapter 9 in this way. And He said to all, if anyone would come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will save it. That's the blessing. Losing our life for the sake of Jesus Christ. And being blessed in that way. What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? And then we have these opportunities in life that God gives us to testify, to lose ourselves for His sake. And He says this, for whoever is ashamed of Me and My words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when He comes in His glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels. Oh, that we would not be ashamed of Jesus Christ or of His words, but would stand firm, come what may. May the fruit of the Spirit work its way in our lives in such a way that, as Galatians does talk about here in verse 24, and those who belong to Jesus Christ. That's a possession word. We belong to Jesus Christ, have crucified the flesh. Along with the flesh is the fear of other people, the temptation to be ashamed, the temptation to give in to those passions and desires, but we have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. So that is the life of following Christ. That's the victorious life that God would have for us to live. Again, this does not happen by following this list of do's and don'ts. It happens by us fixing our eyes on Jesus and just saying, God, this is going to have to be a work of You in my life to make me more like Jesus. That is what I want to do. I want to know the reality of living, denying myself, taking up my cross daily, and following Him. In doing so, we know the reality of the Holy Spirit as we allow Him to order our lives. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit, verse 25 says. Allowing Him to order our lives, that word of keeping in step with the Spirit is a word that's used in the Bible to speak almost as we do with children in preschool or grade school. And who wants to be the line leader today? Well, the Holy Spirit needs to be the line leader in our lives, that we would be directly behind the Holy Spirit, walking in an orderly way, being led by the Holy Spirit. To do this, we have to take an honest look in the mirror. Many people claim to be Christians. It's interesting because sometimes, well, I guess it depends on which circle you're in. Around certain people, I'm a Christian. I know Jesus. And yet if they really examine themselves, as 2 Corinthians tells us to do in chapter 13, are they really in the faith? That's something that people, we can be pretty good at deceiving ourselves, of convincing ourselves that we are Christians because, again, of a list of things that we have done, rather than coming, as this book of Galatians has done, to this place of saying, no, it is nothing that I have done that allows me to be in a right relationship with God, but it is what Jesus has done and my accepting of that. It's the essence of the gospel that needs to be believed and walked out. So 2 Corinthians chapter 13 says this, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize this about yourselves, that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you fail to meet the test. There are those who fail to meet the test. They believe that Jesus Christ is in them, but they really have never fully surrendered to Him. The problem with many of those believers, or people that profess to be believers, is they're not living a victorious life. They're living a defeated life. Why can't I get victory over this sin in my life? Why do I just keep doing this over and over? And they're trying to do this in their own strength instead of surrendering it to God and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and to fill them. There's a booklet that's put out by Campus Crusade for Christ called Have You Experienced the Spirit-Filled Life? We go to a Bible study on Wednesdays. And it was about a year and a half, maybe 2 years ago, the Bible teacher said, how many of you here believe that you are living a Spirit-filled life on a day-to-day basis? This is a pretty good Bible study. People that want to dig into the Word and want to learn. I think a third of the hands may have gone up. One third of these people said, yes, I believe I am living a Spirit-filled life. And we wonder why we struggle against sin or why we are battling against things when we really haven't fully surrendered ourselves to what God desires us to know and to walk in and to see in our lives. I was tempted to ask the same question, but for the sake of all of you, I will just ask this internally. Do you believe that you live on a day-to-day basis a Spirit-filled life, a Spirit-led life? If not, then we need to examine ourselves, first of all, to see whether we are in the faith. And then if we are in the faith, then we need to seek, God, what is it? What is it that I've allowed to quench or to grieve the Spirit in my life? 2 Peter chapter 1, there's a list of similar things as we have in Galatians 5 as far as the fruit of the Spirit. There are a bunch of qualities that he lists out there, and he follows it up in verse 8 and says this, for if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he's blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Sometimes we can more identify with our former sins than we do with our current identity in Jesus Christ. There's a whole group of people that meet on a weekly basis that say, I am Doug Crane, and I am an alcoholic. Not if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, not if you've surrendered your life to Him. You don't identify yourself with your former sin. You walk and be led in the Spirit in the victory and the stand of victory that you can have in who Jesus is now in your life. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fail, or you never fall. For in this way there will be richly provided for you an inheritance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's what we want. We want to have this entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But in order to have that entrance, He has to be our Lord and Savior. I need to be on guard for the temptations of the flesh and the snares of the enemy in my life. There are temptations daily for us. There are these snares. In fact, I was kind of looking this up. There's a whole series of messages that were preached by Erwin Lutzer at the Moody Bible Church there in Chicago about the snares of the flesh. And there are many things that go along with this, but he lists out these as kind of prominent ones that we see evident in our culture. Greed, a snare of the flesh, a snare that the enemy sets up for us. Gambling, alcoholism, pornography, sexual freedom, and he puts a little caveat as a description of sexual freedom. The poisoned oasis is what he calls this. Pleasure. Just seeking pleasure for the sake of pleasure. And then finally, this list that they put out was occultism as the last one. And he says this again as a little addition to that. Not superstition, but deceptions. We have occultism going on in our culture, not by people believing in some superstition somewhere, although that does happen, but it's deceptions. It's just falling for a false gospel even, as we see here in the book of Galatians. Paul says at the beginning, if there's any other gospel that's going to be preached to you, even if I do it, let it be accursed. There's only one gospel. As we look at this and the Holy Spirit continues His work in our lives, we must come to the point where we understand the importance of we and not me. Talking about this a little bit last week when we're coming to this area of self-control and crucifying these passions and these desires, that it helps to have somebody else to know we're going to have somebody checking with us on an area of our lives that we have told them about. I need help. Pray for me. Check in with me on what I'm doing in this area. Verse 26, let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. These are two one another's that we see in Scripture. I'm going to get to this in just a moment as well, but God intends us instead to be Spirit-filled and a united body of believers, not what 26 defines as the activity that Paul's warning them about. Paul says in the book of Ephesians, I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Again, another one another. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit with the bond in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one in God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That's the call that God has put upon us, to be determined to strive for unity by the power of the Holy Spirit. That it's not me, it's we. And if it's me just saying, hey, I'm walking strong with the Lord. Really? How are you walking with other brothers and sisters? Because that's a determination of how strongly you yourself are walking with the Lord. We need one another more than we are willing to admit at times. This again, this word, one another, that we see in verse 26, is used 100 times in 94 verses in the New Testament. One third of these commands have to deal with the unity in the church. Two of these are in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 15 and 26. Commands that are given to maintain unity within the body. Other one another verses include things like this. Be at peace with one another. Don't grumble among one another. Be of the same mind with one another. Accept one another. Gently and patiently tolerate one another. Bear with one another and forgive one another. These are other commands that deal with the same word that we see in verse 26 of wanting to maintain unity within the body. So one third of these verses deal with church unity. One third of them deal with this aspect of loving one another. Again, this is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, where we're called to in love serve one another, which is again the last part. There are about 15% of these 100 references to one another that emphasize this attitude of humility toward other believers, as we see in Galatians 5:13. Out of love, serve one another. The rest of the one another's include commands like we're going to see next week from Galatians chapter 6, verse 2, where we're bearing one another's burdens. Scripture emphasizes over and over and over, this is not about me, this is about we as a body of Christ, being Spirit-led, Spirit-filled believers. In looking at this Scripture then, we need to ask ourselves from verse 24, do I belong to Christ? Can we say with certainty, we've examined ourselves, we have tested ourselves, and I can say with certainty, yes, I am in the faith. I belong to Christ. Second question then comes up, am I living a Spirit-led or a Spirit-filled life? Again, out of this Bible study group, one-third of professing believers in this group could confidently raise their hands to say, yes, I'm living a Spirit-filled or a Spirit-led life on a daily basis. Finally, do we see how we are a part of God's bigger plan within the church? That it's not just me striving to do this in my own personal walk with the Lord and my own personal desire to be led and filled with the Spirit, but I am tied in with other brothers and sisters who I need and who need me. And are we seeing how we are a part of that picture, God's bigger plan as a part of the church? Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful again for Your Word that You give to us. God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that we would not be a church filled with people that would envy one another, provoke one another, that we would not become conceited, but that we would be a body of believers that say, I belong to Christ. I have crucified the passions and the desires, and I have taken my own self, my sinful nature, and I'm nailing it to the cross. I don't want to live for me anymore. I want to live for Jesus and for His bride, the church. I want to build up the body. I want to produce fruit that looks more and more like Jesus, that fruit of the Spirit. May it not be just a personality trait, but may it truly be a confirmation within us, man, I can see God working. Or maybe it's so subtle we don't even see the differences, but other people, may we encourage each other and speak these things to each other so that we can build one another up. You know, I've noticed in you, there's just a change. I see a joy about you. Or an intensity of that joy. There's patience coming about in your life and in the midst of the love that you have and gentleness. And again, God, please make this a part, an organic part of this body of believers for your glory so that we too can be a light that is shining on this corner of 10th and Wallace and in our homes, in our workplaces, that we can be this light that is shining of, I know those guys are Christians because look at that love they have for each other. Look at the way that they live and treat one another and talk about each other. Make it be, Lord, again, so that we can honor You and so that others would desire to know Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.